Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
We only bust out this intro for legends. When you hear this, you think of Michael Jordan. You think of Phil Jackson.
BJ Armstrong.
Scott Williams.
Will Perdue.
And a guy who has seen it all in the world of sports, especially here in Boston. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He is the sports columnist emeritus for the Boston Globe, which means he writes whenever the hell he wants to. It's our friend Bob Ryan with Gresh and Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Mr. Ryan, good morning, sir.
If only half the intros in the world were half as good as that, it would be a better world.
Thank you, friend. There you go. Well, I mean,
That song was perfect. Anyway, good morning, guys.
And Bob, it's awesome to get perspective from you because Lord knows you have seen it all. But let me just start with this. What level of surprise were you at when you, like everybody else, heard the news yesterday that everything was changing with the Celtics?
Well, about 9 on a scale of 10, primarily because we thought that there were some changes were going to be made that in some way. We thought more about personnel. There was obviously a school of thought that people had soured, fans I'm talking, it's maybe some media on Brad, and maybe it was time for a different voice and all that. And that wouldn't have been a total shock. The shocking part, and then Danny's retirement is not a shock. It's a surprise at that time, but not a shock. The element that is surprising here is the question that was unasked and therefore unanswered yesterday was, Brad, you're 44. You profess to be in love with coaching. Does this mean you're never going to coach again? And that's the part that throws me, that he is taking this job, this nature of this job at 44, and giving up coaching, at least for the time being. Do you guys honestly believe he'll never coach again? Because I can't bring myself to that belief.
I agree. I definitely think he's going to coach again. I really do. I was definitely surprised by that piece of it. Do you think that Wick Grosbeck wanted Brad to still be the coach? Or was this sort of, all right, Danny's gone. We have a good relationship with Brad. By the way, we're paying Brad a lot of money still, and we need a new voice there in the locker room.
That's a very good point. The point that I neglected to take into consideration initially yesterday, but fortunately, wiser heads put the thought in my head, and you just brought it up. Money. They owe him a lot of money. And maybe, you know, some conversations of that nature took place, and that's the mutual agreement about how he's going to play out his Celtic tenure, if you will. But yeah, the money has to be a factor here, in his continuing employment with the Celtics. So he's now a very highly paid general manager, I must say, given what we think he was being paid as a coach. And just think about the nature that he was extended not too long ago and all that. But this season was a monumental disappointment, and we all know that. And we thought something would happen. But the swiftness of it, less than 24 hours after their demise, that did cause all of us by surprise.
The great Bob Ryan talking Celtics with Gresham Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, and the Odyssey app. Bob, how do you put into words what this season was like for the Celtics?
Very simply, the most disappointing team in the entire league based on expectation. The only other candidate are the Clippers. Their story hasn't been written yet. People might argue that it's the Clippers if they go down, but it's not over yet, by way of a strange series in which no home team has won a game. So I don't know. I wouldn't dare predict how that's going to come out. But the Celtics are a very, very big disappointment. We've gotten used to the idea that they go to the conference finals. We didn't think this year was going to be the only difference was the competition was stiff. We knew that Philly was going to be better. We figured Milwaukee had and we knew the Nets, of course, you know, were going to be a strangely potent force. But anyway, it was disappointing. The shocking number I heard like 3 weeks ago it just blew my mind, which is that at that point in time, I believe when they had 58 games in, they were 58 games in, they had had 39 games in which they had had a double-digit deficit. Now, even if you had 10, 20, a team of this level of skill, that why did that happen? You know, they dug out a lot of those deficits and won some of those games even and had some of – but that's shocking. Now, if the number was off by 10, I don't care. That's still a huge number. There was something fundamentally wrong with the group. You know, they didn't function the way they should have functioned, period.
Bob, how do you think the Danny Ainge era should be remembered? Because I think some critics would say one title in 18 years, but then others, kind of like myself, would say, all right, well, titles are hard to come by unless you had LeBron, Shaq, Duncan, or Kobe over the last 20 years. So how do you think it should be viewed?
In a very positive way. Not only is it one championship in 18 years, let's remember that that ended, that it's one championship in 35 years. And so, you know, he ended a drought that was in process there. That people have to look at this in the big picture, which is they had a window that once he put that team together on that draft night in 07. And we thought that the window would be 3 or 4 years. And they got it done the first year in very dramatic, you know, wonderful fashion, kicking the Lakers' ass, 131-92, a score I'll never forget as long as I live. But they were the best team the next year, and they got waylaid because Perkins got hurt at the wrong moment, and Rasheed Wallace, who was out of shape all year, and they needed him one night. Hey, Rasheed, you want to give us one night for the money? He couldn't do it. And they lost that game in L.A. And then the next year, they were the better team. I'm sorry. But the Lakers earned it. I'll never forget. They were up 3 points, and they went from +3 to -6 in 94 seconds, three possessions, and lost that seventh game. And the thing that will always kill me is that they lost the Meta World Peace, or whatever his name is now. He's changed it again.
Right.
But they had a three-year run. They won 66, 62, and what, 50, whatever, and they were really good. Then we had to bounce back when, you know, Brad had the first year when he could have gone 0-82 and he would have been fine. And then, you know, they made it back to the conference finals three times. There was one painful loss against Miami, obviously, when you're up 3-2. But you were mentioning LeBron. LeBron's the best player of our generation. So, you know, they couldn't get past him. I think it should be very well thought of, and I think Danny did a terrific job.
Bob Ryan with us, Gresham Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, and the Odyssey app. Bob, the names Becky Hammon of San Antonio have come up. Kara Lawson has come up, a former Celtics assistant. I think if there's one league ready for a female head coach, it would be the NBA in terms of the male-led sports. Is this team ready? Is the league ready? Do you think either one of those ladies are real legitimate candidates to get this head coaching job?
Brad has promised, quote, diversity, unquote. And I think that includes, and they certainly know Kara, and everybody in the league is well aware of Becky's qualifications. And sooner or later, I think she will get a job, and I expected her to be the pioneer. It'll be, you know, you have to brace yourself for you know, a lot of flack, a lot of hard line old males are going to resist this idea. I think the key is, do you know your personnel in that locker room, that who these young men are, and are you confident that they would be willing to be part of this this historic movement move? If you believe that they are capable, that they're the right people, they have the right sensibility, the right intelligence to accept this idea of listening to a woman giving orders at this level, not every group would be a good group to do it with. I don't know if this is the right group or not, but presumably Brad knows these people intimately and would be able to make that decision. That'd be kind of cool. I you know, I'm sitting here in my perch saying, wow, that'd be fun. So if he wants to go that route, it's okay with me.
Well, speaking of the personnel, Bob, do you think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can be the two best players on a title team?
Well, when you see a guy go for 54 times, three times what, in a period of time, and the other guy is a terrific two-way player and a solid, and they're both really solid citizens, and particularly, you know, Brown is, we know that when Brown's basketball career is over, he's not going to be involved in basketball. He'll be in office. I promise you that, somewhere. Anyway, yes, I think they're that good. Now, we can have that discussion. I'm not going to the mattresses on this,
right,
you know.
Right.
But I'm going to come down on the positive side. I think they're awful good. I don't know how you improve yourself too much by ridding yourself of that, either of those guys. So the problem with this roster is, the next guy up that you could trade for any value is probably Marcus Smart. Now, while I am a longtime charter member of the fan club, I don't know what his market value would be. How many people are as much in love with him as I am? I don't know. So beyond that, you know, what's the tradable commodity?
Bob, if you're Brad Stevens, how do you approach each superstar in getting their input on who they want to be the head coach, without either one of either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum feeling like, oh, yeah, you did or didn't pick my guy? I'm fascinated at how Brad Stevens has to kind of dance this dance with modern NBA players who I'm sure are going to think they should have a lot of say in this process.
Well, I'm not sure. All right, I'm not sure. I'm 100% on board with you that is a guarantee that that's the way it's going to go, or that it is necessary. Maybe I'm a little naive about this. Do you really do believe it's come to that, Gresh? I so much want to resist the idea that it's a given, that this is the way it's got to be. You know, that they're not just simply aren't isolated examples of more veteran players that you would feel that you would want to do that with in any sport, frankly. But, wow, I'm not that, – that's a hard one for me to accept, I'll be honest.
Bob, I know it feels like a forever ago, but it really wasn't that many days ago where Kyrie Irving stomps and, you know, wipes his feet on the logo. And maybe even more concerning than that, or bothersome than that, was the lack of response from any of the players. What did you make of that whole thing?
Well, I don't know what they're supposed to do, except with the problem is that with the response that people were focusing on with hugs and, you know, particularly with the big one, because it was what? It was Time Lord in him, right?
Oh, long embrace. And, yeah.
Who was, yeah, was it him?
Yeah. Time Lord was hugging him for several minutes.
All right, let me just start with this. Let me just start with the besmirching of the logo to begin with. I'm amused with that kind of stuff. It doesn't bother me. It's disrespectful, quote unquote. I have a problem with the word respect, and it's offshoots anyway, guys. It's the key, one of the buzzwords of the 21st century. I don't get any respect. You know, it's pretentious nonsense, in my opinion, most of the time, this respect card that people play. But it was classless. It was determined. It was deemed as such, and I believe that. And he doesn't care about that. And it was classless. It was denounced by, Max and others, KG. It certainly was no pretense for someone to throw a bottle. Not that we know that was the motivation specifically.
Right.
We don't know that. We don't know anything about this young man, obviously, yet, right? We have known nothing other than that he did it. That's all we know. And he had a John Garnett jersey.
Right.
But so it doesn't bother me. But the response, well, this is new. Go pick a fight. I mean, this is hockey.
Well, I just thought maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, these guys are all very, active on social media. There could have been something said or even just foul on Kyrie. I'm not asking for a fight either, Bob. I'm just saying, Kyrie goes into the paint a lot, and maybe you let him know that, we didn't like it.
Knock him on his ass.
Yeah, one time.
Well, if this were hockey, we noticed the next time out.
Right.
So we had. I know there was one last night. There's going to be a retribution coming already. I saw that this morning. Anyway, okay, people, this is, I don't know what the, it's a hard, once again, I'm sorry, a hard question for me to answer in that regard. I thought it was after the game. I mean, when are you supposed to do this?
I think what you're telling me is to get over it. No, I'll try to get over it, but if it did, it bothered me. Right? But I'll move on. I'll get past it.
There's other things that would bother me more. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, you can follow on Twitter at Bob Ryan's podcast to get all the latest, including all of the pictures from Bob's 75th birthday tribute. There are some buttes in there. It is worth going to check it out on its own. Robert, thank you, friend. It was great catching up. We really do appreciate it.
Very quickly, today's a very interesting anniversary. 45 years ago tonight, triple overtime. Greatest game maybe ever in Celtic history. Certainly it's among them. 45 years ago tonight, Boston 128, Phoenix 126, triple overtime. Okay.
There we go.
Awesome.
Bob, thanks for dropping the knowledge, man. We always appreciate it. We'll catch up with you. Thank you.
Go on, guys. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.